Hey and welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Tuesday, March 1st, and we had 7 games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Cleveland, the Timberwolves defeated the Cavaliers, 127-122. In Orlando, the Magic defeated the Pacers, 119-103. In Brooklyn, the Raptors demolished the Nets, 133-97. In Miami, the Heat beat the Bulls, 112-99. In Memphis, the Grizzlies beat the Spurs, 118-105. In Milwaukee, the Bucks crushed the Hornets, 130-106. And finally, in Oklahoma City, the Kings defeated the Thunder, 131-110. So we will break down all 7 of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Cleveland, where the Cavaliers were defeated by the Minnesota Timberwolves, 127-122. The Wolves were led by D'Angelo Russell. He had 25 points, and they also got 17 from Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns. And Cat had the clutch three-pointer at the end of the game that helped secure this victory for the Timberwolves. Whereas the Cavaliers were led by Kevin Love off the bench. The veteran big man had 26 points, and they also got 21 in the starting lineup from Jarrett Allen, and a double-double from the rookie Evan Mobley and the guard Brandon Goodwin, starting in place of Darius Garland. And the Cavaliers would probably be disappointed to lose this game because they were down significantly in the third quarter. It was like a 20-point game. Jared Vanderbilt had a dunk with 4:56 left on the clock in the third quarter that put the Timberwolves up by 22. It was 90-68. And this came after the Cavaliers were actually leading in the first quarter. They had a 14-point lead at one point in the first. So in the second quarter, they completely squandered it. They were outscored by Minnesota 38-24, and then they kept the pressure on in the third quarter, opening up that huge lead. And eventually, at the end of the third, the Cavaliers started to chip away at that lead. And then the fourth quarter was all Cleveland. They came storming back in the fourth, outscoring the Timberwolves 34-26. And so after being down by over 20 points midway through the third quarter, they tied the game up finally with 33 seconds to go after a three-pointer from Jetty Osman after an Evan Mobley assist. So it was a near comeback by the Cavaliers, but they were just edged in the end by the Wolves thanks to that three-pointer from Cat with just 12 seconds left on the clock. So an exciting finish to be sure, but a disappointing loss for the Cavaliers. And they shot the ball pretty well, to be fair. 52% from the field, 40% from three, but the Timberwolves were just a little bit better. They were 54% from the field and 42% from three. So really hot shooting from both teams, frankly, but especially the Timberwolves. And the Wolves were very tidy with the ball, only 13 turnovers versus 22 turnovers for the Cavaliers. That is really sloppy ball handling for Cleveland, and that really killed them in this game. So with this loss, the Cavaliers now fall to 36-25. So they're still in fourth in the Eastern Conference, but they are exactly tied with the Milwaukee Bucks in fifth, and they're just one game up on the Boston Celtics in sixth. So it's very tightly contested there in the middle of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference. The Cavaliers have that plus 3.9 point differential, which is third best in the Eastern Conference, but they're just 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Timberwolves, this win takes them to 33-29. So they're in seventh in the Western Conference. They are still 2.5 games behind the Denver Nuggets in sixth, and they're 1.5 games up on the LA Clippers in eighth. And the Timberwolves are plus 1.0 in the point differential, which is exactly where they should be in the conference standings, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Wolves were led, as I mentioned, by D'Angelo Russell. He had 25 points in 35 minutes. He was 8 of 17 from the field. He had 4 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. They also got 17 points from Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. They were both 7 of 13 from the field. They both had 1 three-pointer. They were both 2 of 2 from the free throw line. They both had 4 rebounds. And Edwards filled out the rest of the box score. He had 4 assists and 4 steals. He also had 4 turnovers. Whereas Towns had 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And then they got 11 points from the veteran point guard, Patrick Beverley. He was 4 of 8 from the field, including 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 2 rebounds and 6 assists with 1 steal and 3 blocks. Nice production throughout the box score for Beverley. And Jared Vanderbilt, rounding out the starting lineup, had 8 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. And off the bench for the Wolves, they got 17 points from Jaden McDaniels. He was very efficient in this game. In 18 minutes, he was 6 of 9 from the field, including 5 three-pointers. And then they also got 15 points from Torian Prince in 20 minutes. He was also very efficient, 5 of 8 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. And 6 points from Naz Reid, the backup big man, 9 points from Malik Beasley, and 2 points for Jordan McLaughlin. And as for the Cavaliers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Kevin Love off the bench. In 26 minutes, he had 26 points. He was 7 of 14 from the field, 5 of 10 from 3, and 7 of 7 from the free throw line. So a very efficient game for Love. And he had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. As for the starters, they were led by Jarrett Allen. He was also incredibly efficient, 21 points on 9 of 10 shooting. In 34 minutes, he had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. And then they got 17 points and 12 assists from Brandon Goodwin. In 35 minutes, the guard, starting in place of Darius Garland, was 7 of 13 from the field, and he had 2 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, and 2 steals. I'm not exactly sure how long Darius Garland is going to be out for, because it wasn't really initially reported as a serious injury, but it has been quite some time, and the reports coming out of Cleveland have been a little bit concerning about that injury for Garland, and so Goodwin might be in line for some serious minutes going forwards, and if he can continue putting up numbers even close to this, he will be a valuable fantasy asset. And then the Cavaliers also got a double-double from Evan Mobley, the rookie. He had 15 points and 10 rebounds in 34 minutes. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 4 assists and 2 blocks. Then they got 10 points from Lauri Markkanen in 35 minutes. He was 2 of 7 from the field. He had 5 turnovers. And 6 points from Isaac Okoro. In 28 minutes, the sophomore was just 1 of 5 from the field. And off the bench for the Cavaliers, besides Kevin Love, they also got 21 points from Jetty Osman. In 28 minutes, he was incredibly efficient, 5 of 9 from beyond the arc. That's all he took were three-pointers, and he had 5 assists as well. And then they got 4 points from Lamar Stevens and 2 from Tim Frazier. All right, next up we can move on to Orlando, where the Magic defeated the Indiana Pacers, 119-103. I doubted the Magic yesterday on our preview. I was thinking, no way should they be favored against a team like the Indiana Pacers, but they proved me wrong to be sure. Markelle Fultz made his return. It was his first game in like 14 months, and he only played 16 minutes, but he had 10 points in that time, and they were actually led by Wendell Carter in the starting lineup. He had 21 points and 12 rebounds, and then they also got a double-double from Mo Bamba alongside Carter in the front court. He had 15 and 10, and then they got double-digit scoring from the three other starters as well, whereas the Pacers were led by Tyrese Haliburton. He had 23 points in the starting lineup, and they got 18 points from Buddy Hield, and they got 14 points from their other new addition, Jalen Smith, who was also in the starting lineup. Malcolm Brogdon was back out of the lineup in this one for the Pacers, and so they were significantly outplayed in this game, specifically the second half. They were keeping pace with Orlando in the first half. In fact, they were leading at various points, but then in the third quarter, they just completely fell apart. They were outscored 35-19, and then the Magic were able to maintain that double-digit lead throughout the fourth quarter. So in the end, a comfortable win for Orlando. But interestingly, they didn't even shoot the ball as well as the Pacers. They were only 46% from the field and 32% from three, whereas Indiana was 48% from the field and 41% from three. So the shooting was heavily in the Pacers' favor, but it was the turnovers that just killed them. Like the Cavaliers in the previous game, the Pacers turned the ball over 22 times, whereas the Magic just had 11 turnovers. So that was really the big difference maker in this game, the Pacers just giving the game away in that third quarter. It really would have helped to have their veteran point guard, Malcolm Brogdon, there in the lineup. They had 6 turnovers from Tyrese Haliburton and 3 from Isaiah Jackson and Jalen Smith, and 4 off the bench from Chris Duarte. So it was really the young guys for the Pacers who were giving the ball away a ton, and that really killed them in this game. So this loss takes them to 21-42. So they are still down in 13th. They have been stuck at the 13th seed for like months now in the Eastern Conference. They are 5 games up on the Pistons in 14th, and they are 5 games behind the New York Knicks in 12th. And the Pacers are negative 2.6 in the point differential, which is about where they should be in the conference standings. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. And as for the Magic, this win takes them to 15-47. So they're still at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. They have the worst record in the entire NBA. They are 1.5 games behind the Pistons in 14th. They have a negative 8.0 point differential. That is second worst in the East, third worst in the entire league. But they are on a 2-game winning streak. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Pacers were led, as I mentioned, by Tyrese Haliburton, their new addition from the Sacramento Kings. He had 23 points in 33 minutes. He was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals. But like I said, he did have those 6 turnovers, and he was negative 16 in the plus-minus. The team low in that regard was actually Buddy Hield. He was negative 20 in the plus minus, but he did have 18 points in 34 minutes. He was also 7 of 13 from the field. He also had 3 three-pointers. He had 1 rebound, 6 assists. And then they got 14 points from Jalen Smith, their other new addition from the Phoenix Suns, the big man. In 25 minutes, he was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 3 threes, 8 rebounds. 6 points for the other two starters. The rookie, Isaiah Jackson, played just 18 minutes. He had 5 rebounds and 2 blocks. And 6 points as well for O'Shea Brissett in 31 minutes. He definitely cooled off after his incredible performance in their last game. He was just 1 of 6 from the field. In this one, he had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. And off the bench for the Pacers, they got 11 points from the backup big man, Goga Batadze. He actually played 21 minutes, so he played more than Isaiah Jackson in the starting lineup. Batadze was 4 of 5 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks. And then 11 points as well for Dwayne Washington Jr. The undrafted rookie was 4 of 10 from the field. He had just 1 steal. And then 7 points for Terry Taylor and 7 points from the rookie, Chris Duarte. Kiefer Sykes saw the court for 15 minutes, but he was 0 of 4 from the field in that time. And as for the Magic, they were led, as I mentioned, by Wendell Carter with a nice double-double, 21 points and 12 rebounds in 28 minutes. He was 8 of 10 from the field. He had 1 3-pointer, 1 assist. Then they got 15 points from Franz Wagner and Mo Bamba. Bamba, starting alongside Wendell Carter in the front court, was only 6 of 15 from the field, but he had 15 points, 10 rebounds, 1 steal, and 1 block. And then 15 for Franz Wagner as well. He was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. 14 points for the other rookie, Jalen Suggs. He had a double-double, 10 assists, and he was actually 5 of 9 from the field, so solid efficiency. Not exactly his calling card this season, his rookie year, but he was pretty good in this one. 2 of 4 from the three-point line, 3 rebounds and 2 steals as well. And then they got 11 points from Cole Anthony, rounding out the starting lineup. He was not nearly as efficient as Suggs. He was 3 of 14 from the field. He had 3 rebounds and 3 assists. And off the bench for the Magic, they got 12 points from RJ Hampton. In 17 minutes, the former Denver Nugget was 5 of 9 from the field. And then they got 11 points from Gary Harris. The veteran shooting guard was 3 of 8 from the field, and he had 2 steals. And then they got 10 points from Markel Fultz, making his return. Like I said, this was his first game in like over a year. And in 16 minutes only, he was 5 of 7 from the field. He had 2 rebounds and 6 assists. So a fantastic debut for Markel Fultz, and we shall see how many minutes he gets going forwards, because this has been a long layoff. But if he could start to ramp up his minutes by the end of the year, that would be a good sign for next season. And then the Magic also got 6 points from Chuma Okeke in 24 minutes. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He was incredible in their previous game, but he definitely cooled off in this one. That's the problem with Okeke. He is just hot and cold. His minutes go up and his minutes go down, and you just can't really rely on him on a consistent basis. And then they got 2 points from Ignas Brazdeikis and 2 points from Terrence Ross. All right, next we can move on to Brooklyn, where the Nets were completely demolished by the Toronto Raptors, 133-97. The Raptors were led by Scotty Barnes, the rookie. He has been incredible lately, and that was on full display in this game. 28 points on 12 of 14 shooting, and he had 16 rebounds, 4 assists, and 5 steals. Fantastic production from the rookie Barnes. He is really giving Evan Mobley and Cade Cunningham a run for their money in terms of rookie of the year. And then they also got 20 points off the bench from Precious Achiuwa and 18 points from Malachi Flynn in the starting lineup. Fred VanVleet is still unavailable for Toronto, but it did not matter in this game. They were completely dominant, whereas the Nets were led by LaMarcus Aldridge. Off the bench, he had 15 points, and then they also got 14 off the bench from Cameron Thomas, the rookie, and 14 in the starting lineup from Bruce Brown. But once again, the Nets were without Kyrie Irving, and they're, of course, still without Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons, and so they were significantly outplayed in this game by the Raptors, who themselves have been struggling recently. So this was a disappointing loss for the Nets, as they're going to be battling to get back up into the top. Well, they would presumably like to be in the top six, but that does not look like it's going to happen at this point, because they are 4.5 games behind the Boston Celtics in sixth. But like I said, they were totally outplayed in this game. They were outscored in the first quarter, 42-27. And then the Raptors just kept up the pressure in every other quarter of this game. They outscored the Nets 29-21 in the second, and then 29-21 in the third as well. And then they even outscored the Nets in garbage time in the fourth quarter. So this was just a total blowout, basically from the second quarter onwards. The Nets closed out the first half with a 3-pointer from Seth Curry, but that only cut the deficit to 23. It was 71-48 at that point. So just an embarrassing loss here, frankly, for the Nets. They shot 38% from the field and 34% from three, and they had 23 turnovers. That really killed them. The Raptors, on the other hand, were very efficient, 51% from the field, 47% from three, and they only had 13 turnovers. So with this victory, the Raptors now improved to 33-27. So that is good for seventh in the Eastern Conference. They are two games up now on the Nets in eighth, and they are 1.5 games behind the Boston Celtics in sixth. And the Raptors are plus 1.3 in the point differential, which is exactly where they should be in the conference standings. It's seventh, and they are 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Nets, this loss takes them to 32-30. So they are right below the Raptors in eighth, but they are two games back now, and they are two games up on the Charlotte Hornets in ninth. And the Nets are negative 0.9 in the point differential, and they're just 3-7 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Raptors were led, as I mentioned, by the rookie Scottie Barnes. He was just incredible in this game, 28 points in 34 minutes. He was 12 of 14 from the field. He had 1 3-pointer, 16 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals, and 1 block. And impressively, 9 of those rebounds were offensive rebounds. So a dominating performance in the paint from Scottie Barnes. He did have 5 turnovers, but nonetheless, he was plus 30 in the plus minus. Really good stuff for the rookie. And then they also got 18 points from Malachi Flynn in 34 minutes. He was 7 of 11 from the field, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals in the starting lineup in place of Fred VanVleet. Then they also got 12 points from Gary Trent Jr., although he was just 3 of 10 from the field. He had 5 assists and 5 steals, though. And 8 points for Pascal Siakam. He was also very inefficient in this game, 2 of 14 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks, though. And then Kim Birch rounding out the starting lineup. He only played 10 minutes, and he did not score at all. He was 0 of 1 in that time. And off the bench for the Raptors, they got 20 points from Precious Achiuwa. In 24 minutes, he was 8 of 14 from the field. He had 3 3-pointers, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. He was plus 25 in the plus minus. Really productive game for Achiuwa. And then they also got 11 points from Thad Young, their recent acquisition from the Spurs. In 15 minutes, he was 4 of 6 from the field, and he had 3 3-pointers, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. They also got myriad contributions from the rest of their bench because of all the garbage time at the end of this game. So starting off with Chris Boucher, he had 8 points on 3 of 6 shooting in 12 minutes. They got 6 from DJ Wilson, 7 points from Yuto Watanabe, 2 points for Justin Champagny, 5 for Delano Banton, and 8 for the Ukrainian Svi Mykhailiuk. And as for the Brooklyn Nets, they were led, as I mentioned, by LaMarcus Aldridge off the bench. The veteran big man had 15 points on 5 of 8 shooting. In just 20 minutes, he had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. He was one of the sole bright spots on this Brooklyn Nets roster. As for the starters, they were led by Bruce Brown. He had 14 points on 5 of 11 shooting. He was okay in 24 minutes. He had 2 3-pointers, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And then they got 11 points from Seth Curry, although he was just 3 of 7 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. And then the rest of the starters did not do a whole lot. James Johnson just had 5 points in 18 minutes. He had 4 rebounds and 3 assists. And then 3 points for the other two starters, Andre Drummond and Patty Mills. Drummond was 1 of 3 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. And Mills was 1 of 8 from the field. He had 3 assists. And off the bench from the Nets, besides LaMarcus Aldridge, they also got 14 points from the rookie Cam Thomas. He was only 4 of 12 from the field, though. He had 4 rebounds and 2 assists. They got 6 points from the former Raptor Goran Dragic against his former team. He struggled. He was 1 of 5 from the field. He had 5 assists. He was negative 24 in the plus minus. They also got 9 points from the other rookie, De'Ron Sharp. In just 12 minutes, he was 4 of 6 from the field, and he had 7 rebounds. And then they got 5 points from the third rookie, Kessler Edwards. He had 4 rebounds. 4 points for the fourth rookie, David Duke Jr. He was 2 of 8 from the field in 19 minutes. And 2 points for Nick Claxton in 12 minutes. 6 points for Blake Griffin. All right, next up we can move on to Miami, where the Heat defeated the Chicago Bulls 112-99. This was an emphatic victory for the Eastern Conference leading Miami Heat over the second place team. They were led by Tyler Hero off the bench. He had 20 points, and they also got 20 in the starting lineup from Gabe Vincent. He had 4 3-pointers, and 15 points from Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. Whereas the Bulls were led by Zach LaVine, he had 22 points. He was 8 of 16 from the field. And then they got 18 points from Ayo Dosunmu, the rookie, and 18 as well from DeMar DeRozan. His streak of 30-point games is finally over. He was a bit quiet in this game, 7 of 16 from the field. And then they got 14 as well from Nikola Vucevic. And in the end, this was a pretty comfortable win for the Heat. The scoreline doesn't really indicate how much of a blowout this was. The Heat were leading pretty significantly early on. They had a 9-point lead after the first quarter. They outscored the Bulls 30-21 in the first. And then they maintained that lead throughout the second. And then the third quarter is where they really expanded upon that lead. The Bulls just could not get anything going at the beginning of the third quarter offensively. And the Heat pulled away to about a 20-point lead. Bam Adebayo had a dunk with 7 minutes to go in the third quarter that put the Heat up 69-51, and then they basically just maintained that lead throughout the rest of the third and fourth quarters until the very end when they let their foot off the gas pedal a little bit and the Bulls cut into the deficit a little bit, but it was basically like a 20-point lead throughout the majority of the second half. So a comfortable win in the end for the Heat, and unsurprisingly, they shot very efficiently, 49% from the field and 38% from three, whereas the Bulls were just 48% from the field, 24% from three. Now, both teams had at least 14 turnovers, so not exactly the most clean game by either team, but the shooting, specifically from beyond the arc by the Heat, was just too much in the end for the Bulls to be able to contend with. And so with this loss, they now fall to 39-23, so they are now two games behind the Heat in first. The Bulls are in second, and then they are one game up on the 76ers in third. And the Bulls have a plus 1.9 point differential, which is actually worse than four teams below them. It's only sixth best in the conference. They're on a two-game losing streak, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Heat, this win takes them to 41-21, distancing themselves now at the top of the Eastern Conference. As I said, two games up on the Bulls, three games up on the 76ers. They are plus 4.8 in the point differential, which is clearly second best. They're on a four-game winning streak, and they're 9-1 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Bulls were led, as I mentioned, by Zach LaVine. He had 22 points in 33 minutes in the starting lineup. He was 8 of 16 from the field. He had 2 3-pointers, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 turnovers. They got 18 points from DeMar DeRozan in 34 minutes. He was 7 of 16 from the field, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and a block. So still providing some value throughout the box score, but his scoring dominance finally coming to an end here. As many have pointed out, it was the longest stretch in NBA history for a player scoring at least 35 points on at least 50% shooting. But that finally came to an end in this game. And then they also got 18 points from the rookie, Ayo Dosunmu. He was 8 of 14 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Then they got 14 points from Nikola Vucevic. In 26 minutes, he was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and just 4 points for Javonte Green rounding out the starting lineup. In 21 minutes, he was 2 of 2 from the field. He had 3 rebounds. And off the bench for the Bulls, they got 9 points from Kobe White. He was only 3 of 11 from the field. All of his makes came from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds and 6 assists. And then they got 4 points from Matt Thomas in 3 minutes, 4 points as well for Tony Bradley, and then 2 from Tristan Thompson, Troy Brown Jr., and Derek Jones Jr. And as for the Heat, they were led, as I mentioned, by Tyler Hero off the bench. He had 20 points in 30 minutes. He was 7 of 13 from the field, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and he was 5 of 5 from the free throw line. As for the starters, they also got 20 points from Gabe Vincent. In 33 minutes, he was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 4 threes, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. 15 points for Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. Adebayo was very efficient, 6 of 8 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and he was a team high, plus 20 in the plus minus. And then Butler had 15 as well in 29 minutes. He was 4 of 13 from the field, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. 9 points for Duncan Robinson. He was 3 of 8 from beyond the arc. And 4 points for PJ Tucker rounding out the starting lineup. He was 2 of 3 from the field in 25 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And off the bench for the Heat, besides Tyler Hero, they also got 13 points from Max Strus in 23 minutes. He had 3 3-pointers. Then they got 9 points from Caleb Martin in 25 minutes, 4 for Dwayne Dedman, the backup big man, 2 for Omer Yurtseven, and 1 for Kyle Guy. All right, next we can move on to Memphis, where the Grizzlies defeated the Spurs 118-105 thanks to another career high from Ja Morant, his second career high in a row. This time he topped 50 points, the first Grizzly in franchise history to score more than 50 points. They were the last team left in the league that never had a player score at least 50. Well, that is now over. Ja had 52 points to lead the way for the Grizzlies in this game. He was incredible. 22 of 30 from the field, including 4 of 4 from the three-point line, and he also had 7 rebounds. Just a masterclass performance by Ja Morant. He had several incredible highlights. One, which was a buzzer beater at the end of the first half. It was like a full court heave from Steven Adams, and then on the other baseline, Morant catches it, puts it up with 0.4 on the clock and beats the buzzer. It was just an insane shot. It was like not even that important of a moment. They were up by 8 at that point, but he hit that one. And then he also had probably the dunk of the year on Jakob Poeltl. It was an insane dunk. He comes running in from the side. He cocks back, slams it all over Jakob Poeltl. Nothing fancy, just incredible force, incredible elevation. He hung in the air for it seemed like 2 seconds before finally slamming it. And that one was really the cherry on top of this performance. So Ja Morant was just incredible once again, leading the way for the Grizzlies. And then because of his dominance, none of the other starters even scored in double digits. They just got 15 points off the bench from De'Anthony Melton and 13 off the bench from Tyus Jones. Whereas the Spurs were actually led by Lonnie Walker, also off the bench. He had 22 points in 25 minutes. And then all five of the starters scored in double digits as well. DeJounte Murray led the way. He had 21. And then they got a double-double from Jakob Poeltl with 16 and 10. But despite Ja's dominance in this game, the Spurs were actually in this one throughout. This was a game of runs, as they say, and it was the same pattern every time. The Grizzlies would pull away, and then the Spurs would cut the deficit. The Grizzlies would pull away again, the Spurs would cut the deficit. It happened like 5 or 6 distinct times throughout this game. At the end of the first quarter, at the beginning of the second, at the end of the second, at the end of the third, and then finally in the fourth, at the end of the fourth quarter, the Spurs had cut the deficit to like 6 points at the middle of the fourth quarter, and then finally the Grizz pulled away once again, built up a double-digit lead, and the Spurs were not able to come back at that point. Frankly, I would say the Grizzlies deserved this victory. They shot them all much more efficiently than San Antonio, 53% from the field, 42% from three, and they totally dominated on the boards as well, 55-38. The only area in which the Spurs were superior was the ball handling. They only had 9 turnovers versus 18 for the Grizzlies, so that was really keeping the Spurs in this game, the tidy ball handling, but it was not nearly enough to overcome that incredible shooting and Ja Morant's utter dominance. So with this victory, the Grizzlies now improved to 43-20, which is good for third still in the Western Conference. They are just one game behind the Golden State Warriors in second, and they are 3.5 games up on the Utah Jazz in fourth. The Grizz are plus 4.8 in the point differential, which is fourth best in the West. They're on a 2-game winning streak, and they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. So with 7 games separating the Grizzlies and Suns, I don't think the Suns are in any danger of falling out of that first seed in the Western Conference, but it'll be really interesting to see whether or not the Warriors can hold off the Grizzlies and the Jazz, because both of those teams are surging at the moment. They are both 8-2 in their last 10 games, whereas the Warriors are just 5-5. And as for the Spurs, this loss takes them to 24-38, so they're down in 12th right now in the Western Conference. They are 1.5 games behind the Portland Trailblazers in 11th, and they are 1.5 games up on the Sacramento Kings in 13th. And the Spurs are negative 0.1 in the point differential, which is actually better than the four teams ahead of them. It's actually 8th best in the conference, but they're on a 2-game losing streak, and they're 5-5 in their last 10. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Spurs were led, as I mentioned, by Lonnie Walker off the bench. He had 22 points in 25 minutes. He was 9 of 18 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, and 3 assists. And as for the starters, all 5 scored in double digits, and they were led by DeJounte Murray. He had 21 points, but he wasn't super efficient, 8 of 20 from the field in 35 minutes. As he typically does, though, he filled up the stat sheet otherwise. 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, and 1 block. And then they also got 16 points and 10 rebounds from Jakob Poeltl. In 32 minutes, he was 8 of 11 from the field, 0 of 2 from the free throw line. He had 4 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. And then they got 14 points from Doug McDermott. He had 4 three-pointers, 5 assists, and 10 points from the other two starters, Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell. Johnson, who has been very efficient all season long, was not quite as efficient in this game. 4 of 15 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3. He had 8 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. And Vassell, the sophomore, was 4 of 11 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. And off the bench for the Spurs, besides Lonnie Walker, they also got 6 points from Zach Collins, the backup big man, in 16 minutes. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 points from Keita Bates-Diop, 4 points from Trey Jones, the sophomore point guard, and that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Spurs. And as for the Grizzlies, they were led, of course, by Ja Morant. He had 52 points, which was a career high for himself, obviously, and a franchise high by any player. In 34 minutes, he was 22 of 30 from the field. Incredible efficiency. 4 of 4 from the three-point line, and he had 7 rebounds and 2 assists. And he was plus 23 in the plus-minus. And then, like I said, none of the other starters actually scored in double digits. They got 8 points from Desmond Bane in 29 minutes. He was only 3 of 11 from the field, though. 3 rebounds, 6 assists. 6 points for Jaren Jackson in just 20 minutes. He was 2 of 3 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And then just 4 points for Steven Adams, although he stuffed the stat sheet other than the scoring. 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. And then Zaire Williams, the rookie, did not score at all. He was 0 of 3 from the field in 26 minutes. And off the bench for the Grizzlies, they got 15 points from De'Anthony Melton. In 24 minutes, he was 4 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. 13 points from Tyus Jones in 19 minutes. He was 6 of 13 from the field, 3 rebounds. He was going up against his younger brother, Trey Jones, on the Spurs bench in this game. And then they also got 8 points from Brandon Clark. He had 4 rebounds in 16 minutes. 9 points from Kyle Anderson, the former Spur. He had 9 rebounds and 6 assists. And then 3 points for Killian Tilly. All right, next we can move on to Milwaukee, where the Bucks handily defeated the Charlotte Hornets, 130-106. The Bucks were led by the two-time MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 26 points and 16 rebounds. He was incredible in this game. He stuffed the stat sheet, and he went perfect, 14 of 14 from the free throw line. That is phenomenal for him, considering his much-publicized struggles from the free throw line in the playoffs last year. And then they also got 21 points from Jrue Holiday, 20 and 10 from Bobby Portis, and 19 from Chris Middleton. Whereas the Hornets were led by LaMelo Ball, the sophomore had 24 points in 30 minutes, and they got 17 from Terry Rozier and 14 points from Miles Bridges. They also got 17 off the bench from Kelly Oubre. But this was a total blowout in the end. The Bucks just totally dominated, specifically in the second and third quarters. It was tied after the first, 32-all, but the Bucks laid the smackdown in the second, outscoring the Hornets 44-21. So just like that, it was a significant double-digit lead at the half, and then they maintained, in fact, expanded upon that lead in the third quarter. At one point, it was 96-64 with 7:30 left in the third quarter after a free throw from Giannis Antetokounmpo. So a complete blowout here in Milwaukee, and then it was basically garbage time from there on out. They were able to maintain that huge lead throughout the rest of the game. Actually, the Hornets did chip away at it a little bit in the fourth quarter, but still, it was a total blowout. And Milwaukee didn't even shoot the ball that well. They were 44% from the field, although they were 40% from three. The Hornets weren't that much worse. They were 38% from the field, 35% from three, and Charlotte only had 9 turnovers, whereas the Bucks had 13. But it was the rebounding where the Bucks completely dominated Charlotte. They out-rebounded the Hornets 62-41. So really lacking the interior depth, the Hornets, despite getting Montrezl Harrell at the trade deadline, it has not really made that much of a difference. Mason Plumlee in the starting lineup only played 17 minutes. He had 5 rebounds, and he was 1 of 4 from the field. And Montrezl Harrell off the bench, he played 25 minutes. He was 1 of 8 from the field, and he just had 4 rebounds. So really lackluster performances from the bigs by the Hornets in this game. The rookie Kai Jones even saw the court briefly. He played 7 minutes. So James Borrego seemingly desperate for some competence in the front court, but I'm not exactly sure if he's going to get it from Kai Jones. But at any rate, with this loss, the Hornets now fall to 30-32. So they're down in 9th in the Eastern Conference. They are just ahead of the Atlanta Hawks by a percentage point. They've played 2 extra games, and then there are 2 games behind the Brooklyn Nets in 8th. So it's very tightly contested there at the bottom of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference. The Hornets are negative 0.4 in the point differential, which is worse than the Hawks below them, but better than the Nets ahead of them. And they are 2-8 only in their last 10 games. And as for the Bucks, this win takes them to 36-25. So they're still in 5th in the East, but they are tied with the Cleveland Cavaliers in 4th, and they are 1.5 games behind the 76ers in 3rd. They're 1 game up on the Boston Celtics in 6th. And the Bucks are plus 3.2 in the point differential, which is about where they should be in the conference standings. There's a couple teams that are better, but they are 5-5 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Hornets were led, as I mentioned, by LaMelo Ball. He had 24 points in 30 minutes. He was 9 of 18 from the field, 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. Then they got 17 points from Terry Rozier in 36 minutes. He was 7 of 16 from the field, just 1 three-pointer, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals. Those two were the team lows in the plus-minus. Ball was negative 23, and Rozier was negative 21. They also got 14 points from Miles Bridges in 30 minutes. He was 5 of 14 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers and 3 rebounds. 13 points from PJ Washington. He also had 3 three-pointers. He was 5 of 11 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And 3 points for Mason Plumlee rounding out the starting lineup. In 17 minutes, he was just 1 of 4 from the field. Also 1 of 4 from the free throw line. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And off the bench for the Hornets, they got 17 points from Kelly Oubre Jr. in 31 minutes. He was 6 of 14 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. In any other year, he would be a really solid candidate for Sixth Man of the Year, but this season it seems like Tyler Hero pretty much has that award on lock. And then they also got 9 points from Montrezl Harrell. The aforementioned backup big man was just 1 of 8 from the field, like I said. He was 7 of 8 from the free throw line at the very least. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And then 3 points for Cody Martin in 17 minutes. He was 1 of 4 from the field. 2 points for JT Thor, the rookie, in 16 minutes. Had 3 rebounds, 2 assists. And then 4 points for the other rookie, Kai Jones, in just 7 minutes. And as for the Bucks, they were led by Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 26 points in 28 minutes. He was really efficient, 6 of 10 from the field, 14 of 14 from the free throw line. And he had 16 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and 4 blocks. Incredible production from Giannis. And then they also got 21 from Jrue Holiday in 25 minutes. He was 7 of 15 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3. And he had 6 rebounds and 8 assists. 20 points and 10 rebounds for Bobby Portis. He had 4 three-pointers and 19 points for Chris Middleton. He was less efficient than the other three, 5 of 16 from the field, but he did have 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And Grayson Allen, rounding out the starting lineup, had 11 points in 18 minutes. He was 4 of 7 from the field. And off the bench for the Bucks, they got 10 points from Javon Carter, their recent acquisition, the backup point guard. In 29 minutes, he was 2 of 8 from the field. He had 2 threes, 2 assists, and 3 rebounds. Another recent acquisition, Serge Ibaka, he had just 2 points in 16 minutes, but he had 7 rebounds and 1 block. 7 points from Thanasis Antetokounmpo. He was perfect, 3 of 3 from the field in 11 minutes. 3 points from Jordan Nwora, although he was 1 of 6 from the field. 2 points for Wesley Matthews. He was 0 of 4 from the field. 6 points for DeAndre Bembry, and 3 points for Lindell Wigginton. All right, and finally, we can move on to Oklahoma City, where the Thunder were defeated by the Sacramento Kings, 131-110. The Kings were led by De'Aaron Fox. He had 29 points and 10 assists in 41 minutes in the starting lineup. And then they also got 23 from Harrison Barnes, 24 from Trey Lyles, and then a big double-double from Domantas Sabonis, 14 points, 16 rebounds, and 7 assists. Whereas the Thunder were led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he had a huge night, 37 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds, and he was incredibly efficient, 12 of 16 from the field, so really a fantastic game for Shai, but it was all for nothing as they were demolished in this game and he didn't get much help. They just got 11 points from Trey Mann and 12 points off the bench from Olivier Sarr. But they deserve a little bit of credit, at least, for being in this game throughout the majority of regulation. In fact, they were leading midway through the third quarter. After a layup from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 8 minutes to go in the third, the Thunder were actually up by 7. It was 72-65. So they were in this game until about that point. That's when things started to go south. The Kings came storming back throughout the rest of the third quarter. Ultimately, they outscored the Thunder 40-31 in the third. So they not only tied the game back up, but then they took the lead heading into the fourth. It was a 9-point advantage for Sacramento after a 3-pointer from Harrison Barnes at the end of the third. And then they maintained and expanded upon that lead even further in the fourth. In fact, they outscored the Thunder 32-20 in that final period. De'Aaron Fox put the nail in the coffin with a 3-pointer with 1:13 left on the clock. That one put the Kings up by 19 points, 129-110. So a comfortable win in the end for the Kings, and they shot the ball pretty well overall, especially 56% from the field. They were just 32% from three, but the Thunder were a little bit worse, 31% from three and 46% from the field overall. Both teams had 17 turnovers, so a very sloppy game on both sides of the ball, but the Kings also out-rebounded the Thunder 46-38, so all in all, besides the ball handling, a pretty dominant game for Sacramento. And so with this victory, the Kings now improved to 23-40, so they're still in 13th in the Western Conference, but they're now 3 games up on the Thunder in 14th. They are 1.5 games behind the Spurs in 12th, and the Kings are negative 4.8 in the point differential, which is it's actually 4th worst in the conference. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Thunder, this loss takes them to 19-42. So they're down in 14th in the West, 3.5 games up on the Rockets in last, and like I said, 3 games behind the Kings in 13th. The Thunder are negative 6.9 in the point differential, which is clearly second worst in the West, and they are just 2-8 in their last 10. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Kings were led, as I mentioned, by De'Aaron Fox. He had 29 points in 41 minutes. He was 10 of 20 from the field, 8 of 14 from the free throw line. He had 4 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He was plus 21 in the plus minus, so a very productive game from De'Aaron Fox, despite the slightly inefficient free throw shooting. Then they got 23 points from Harrison Barnes. The veteran was 6 of 12 from the field. He was 10 of 11 from the free throw line. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. 24 points from Trey Lyles. He was very efficient, 10 of 14 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Then they got that double-double from Domantas Sabonis. It was a pretty solid game throughout. 14 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, and he was 7 of 8 from the field. Although, the only mark against him was the turnovers. He was one of the main culprits for that Kings sloppy ball handling. 8 turnovers for Sabonis. That is a real disappointment. Otherwise, a really solid line. And then they also got 3 points from Justin Holiday, rounding out the starting lineup. He was 1 of 6 from the field in 25 minutes. And off the bench for the Kings, they got 14 points from Dante DiVincenzo, their new addition from the Milwaukee Bucks. In 22 minutes, DiVincenzo was 5 of 7 from the field, including 4 three-pointers. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. So a solid contribution from DiVincenzo. And then they got 13 points from Davion Mitchell, the rookie. He was 6 of 9 from the field. And then 6 points for Damian Jones in 17 minutes, and 5 points from Jeremy Lamb in 19 minutes. All right, and as for the Thunder, they were led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He was incredible in this game. In 33 minutes, he had 37 points on 12 of 16 shooting. He was 3 of 3 from the three-point line, and he was 10 of 14 from the free-throw line. Incredible scoring, and he had 7 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals. Now, like Sabonis, he was pretty careless with the ball. He had 5 turnovers, but still, other than that, a pretty remarkable stat line for Shai, despite somewhat lackluster performances from the rest of the roster for the Thunder. So they got 11 points from the rookie Trey Mann. In 31 minutes, he was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists. He was the only other starter to score in double digits. Just 8 points for Isaiah Roby in 20 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 2 steals. 8 points for Darius Bazley in 29 minutes. And then 3 points for Aaron Wiggins, the other rookie. He just played 9 minutes before going out of this game. And off the bench for the Thunder, they did get 12 points from Olivier Sarr. In 26 minutes, the rookie, he was 5 of 8 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. 10 points for Vit Krejci. In 29 minutes, he had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. 9 points for Alexei Pokuševski, the sophomore. In 26 minutes, he was 4 of 12 from the field. He did have 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks, though. And then 9 points also for Théo Maledon. Those two have been really productive lately, the two sophomores. Maledon had 1 rebound, 4 assists, and 3 steals. And then just 3 points for Lindy Waters in 18 minutes. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And we had a couple of incredible options to pick from. Despite having just 7 games in the NBA last night, there was some insane stat lines. So we're going to start off with Ja Morant. He is not going to be standout line of the night, but he did set a franchise record for points and a career high, 52 on insane 22 of 30 shooting. That alone was almost enough to get him this award, but he just didn't really do a whole lot else in the box score. 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 0 steals or blocks. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the aforementioned line, was incredible. 37 points on 12 of 16 shooting. He had 7 rebounds, 10 assists, and 3 steals. I was really tempted to go with him because of that crazy efficiency, the 3 steals, but he did have 5 turnovers, as did Scotty Barnes. He was the other closest contender here. Just so many incredible lines. He was also insanely efficient, 12 of 14 from the field. He had 28 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals, and a block. So it was really tough not to go with any of these guys, but Barnes also had 5 turnovers. So ultimately, we're going to go with the 2-time MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He just had the most well-rounded line out of all these guys. He only had 26 points, so he was the lowest scorer, but he was very efficient. 6 of 10 from the field, 14 of 14 from the free throw line. That is incredible. Now, he was 0 of 2 from 3, but he had 16 rebounds, 6 assists, and then this is where he really wins this award. 2 steals and 4 blocks. None of those other guys really stuffed the stat sheet in the defensive categories quite as much as Giannis did, and those matter just as much as points. So he is going to be your standout line of the night. He did have 4 turnovers, but nonetheless, he was just incredible otherwise. And as for surprising line of the night, it was an easy pick. We're going with Brandon Goodwin with the Cleveland Cavaliers, the point guard, starting in place of Darius Garland. Like I said, if he's going to continue to get this many minutes for an extended period of time while Garland is out, he could be a really valuable add in fantasy for the time being, at least. Hopefully Garland gets back sooner rather than later. But in the meantime, Goodwin has been putting up some nice lines, and this one was his best so far. 17 points, 12 assists. He was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 2 steals. And so really good stuff for Brandon Goodwin breaking onto the scene in Cleveland in the backcourt. With all of the injuries that they have sustained over the course of this season, he is taking advantage of the opportunity. So Goodwin with the Cleveland Cavaliers is your surprising line of the night. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is your standout line of the night. All right, and with that, we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Tuesday, March the 1st, and we've got six games on in the NBA today. Starting off in Washington, the Wizards are taking on the Detroit Pistons, and the Wizards are -3. In Boston, the Celtics are taking on the Atlanta Hawks, and the Celtics are -6. In Toronto, the Raptors take on the Brooklyn Nets, and the Raps are -8.5. In Minnesota, the Timberwolves face the Golden State Warriors, and the Warriors are -1.5. In Houston, the Rockets are taking on the LA Clippers, and the Clippers are -7. And finally, in Los Angeles, the Lakers are taking on the Dallas Mavericks, and the Mavericks are -5.5. All right, so a couple of intriguing games here. The Nets going to Toronto, taking on the Raptors. It is the second night of a back-to-back for Toronto, but the Nets will also be without all three of their stars because Durant and Simmons are still not back, and then Kyrie Irving cannot play in Canada. So that is a pretty high line, +8.5, but frankly, I'm a bit scared off from that one because I don't have a ton of faith in the Raptors right now. They've got some injuries that they're dealing with as well, with OG Anunoby and Fred VanVleet being out. So ultimately, I'm going to stay away from that one. I'm also very intrigued by the Hawks, +6 in Boston. The Hawks have overall been playing much better over the past couple of months. They obviously started the season off very slowly, and they're only in 10th now, but I would expect that they will continue to rise up the conference standings, specifically with the Charlotte Hornets being just ahead of them by one percentage point. I think the Hawks will eventually surpass them, and then maybe even a couple more teams. They do have that +0.8 point differential, which is 8th best in the conference, and they're 5-5 in their last 10. But with all that being said, the Celtics are just on fire at the moment. They are 8-2 in their last 10, and they've got the Eastern Conference leading +5.3 point differential. They've got the best defense in the entire NBA by far over the past several months. So I'm not sure that I feel confident going with the Hawks +6. I'm tempted, but I'm going to ultimately stay away from that one, but it's going to be a juicy matchup nonetheless. Ultimately, I think we've just got one best bet for today. I was also a little bit tempted by the Dallas Mavericks -5.5 in Los Angeles just because the Lakers are such a shit show right now. Ultimately, I think I'm going to stay away just because I feel like LeBron James can single-handedly win his team a game or two every once in a while. They've been really disappointing, obviously, but he is still an incredible player, and it seems like every once in a while when he gets really fed up with the Lakers losing, he single-handedly takes the team on his back and wins them a game or two. So I think he could potentially do that at some point. I don't know if it's going to happen this game. Luka could single-handedly torch the Lakers himself. So I'm very tempted by the Mavericks -5.5, but we're going to stay away from that one. Ultimately, we're going to take the other Los Angeles team. We're going to take the Clippers -7 in Houston. I just think this is like the safest bet at the moment. The Clippers are playing very well recently. They're on a 3-game winning streak. They're up in 8th right now in the West, whereas the Rockets are on a 9-game losing streak. I have zero confidence at the moment in the Rockets. They are just tanking to their heart's content, going nowhere fast, and so I will gladly take the LA Clippers -7. It is a bit of a high line, but still, they've been playing really well, like I said, and so I think they can cover that one and easily defeat the Rockets in Houston. So that's going to be our only best bet for today, the Clippers -7 against the Rockets, and that will do it. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review, and we'll be back tomorrow to recap all six of those games and to preview the action for Wednesday, March the 2nd. Until then, thanks for tuning in.